step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Finnegan here with you. We will be joined in the next segment by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee as the Commodores prepare to face the Tennessee Volunteers on West End this weekend. But Will Levis crossed, in the minds of many, an important threshold this past weekend when he played against the Houston Texans. When we've talked about Will Levis and his career trajectory and all of those things, what's one thing we often hear? He hasn't even played a full season yet. Well, the game against the Texans was game number 17 for Will Levis. So I guess in those words, he has now started a full season's worth of games over two seasons for the Tennessee Titans. So this is where Will Levis sits after 17 career games. He has a career completion percentage of 62.2%. He has thrown 18 touchdown passes. He has thrown 13 interceptions. He has a career passer rating of 84.8. So, that is where Will Levis stands after 17 career games. So, if you are of the mind that Will Levis needed a full season's worth of games as a starter to get a valid evaluation of his performance, here you are. And, Willie, I thought Tim Hasselbeck had some interesting comments about where he has seen Will Levis, especially over these past 3 weeks. We've been talking a lot about the incremental progress that Levis has made since he's been back from injury. But as we look at that and the 17 games we've seen from Will Levis, where are you at?
I continue to look at it through this prism, because Tim was clearly very bothered by the pick six and the simplicity of that play. That's shocking that in his 17th start, he made that mistake. That was sort of Tim's take without playing the whole clip. That bothered him a lot more than all of the times he's being sacked and holding the ball. We had some very interesting commentary from him on that. I asked him a couple questions about where can you improve, where can he be taught in that area of cutting down the number of sacks by either getting better within the pocket or knowing how to get out of the pocket and escape. Because it just looks like the opposite of the best quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and guys who just know, have a knack of how to find that extra little space to make the play or escape. So with all that in mind, I continue to look at it this way. Here is Will Levis in his contract. He is in year two of a four-year contract that, because he's a second-round pick, he will make basically 1% of the salary cap. He will take up 1% of the salary cap, not just this year, not just next year, but also in 2026 in the fourth year. So he will take, and I guess it goes up modestly, in his fourth year he'll make $3 million, which is maybe 2% of the cap. So he is extremely cheap. And if he can be league average, again, league average, I'm not saying he's going to become Joe Montana, but if he can be league average, there's an argument to be made of, unless you see something way better, I'll take the league average guy making pennies and build my roster accordingly and then find the next guy. And hopefully, the more he plays, the better he gets and some of the egregious errors get cut down. Because right now, after 17 games, if you're sitting there and parading out the stats of he's got 18 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions, and he's got an 84.8 passer rating and something like a 34 QB rating. That's not good enough. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. That only is relevant if you think that those numbers in the next 17 games are going to be way better. And I still am not there yet. Mm-hmm. I do think that if he's making 1% of the salary cap, you ought to be able to put better players around him over time, which could get those numbers up closer to a Sam Darnold or mm-hmm. pick your guy in the middle class. Pick your guy the 17th or 18th best quarterback rather than the 30 or 31st best quarterback, which is what those numbers are.
Yeah, here's the unfortunate part about not, you know, being the first round draft pick, because you get closer to having to decide whether he's your guy or not. You get to that quicker than you would if he was drafted in the first round, because typically the contracts are a year or two longer than it is outside of the first round. So they're in this dilemma, sort of like Green Bay was in, you know. He sit for a year and loves Casey set for 2 years. And then he plays. You get a six-game sample, and it's like, okay, we got to make a decision on what we're going to do with this guy. So you have to sign him to a big contract. And they did. And I think, for all intents and purposes, Love has, you know, been a good quarterback. Hadn't been great, but he's been good. So it's trending up. I heard this. I was listening to Stephen A. And you know, the guys this morning. And Jeff Saturday said something, because they were discussing the Chicago Bears and Eberflus. Should he be there? You know, should they go with another head coach? And he said, listen, the excitement of, you know, you building this new stadium, and you're trying to get everybody excited about this new stadium, and you want people to pay for this new stadium. He said, you want to have some type of momentum or some type of excitement headed into your new stadium. You don't want to still be sitting on the fence like, is Eberflus my guy? Is he not? You know, what do we do? You know, should we get a new coach now, or should we wait? Well, the longer you wait, if he's not your guy, the longer you wait, the longer the fan base say, you know what? You building that new stadium, we don't want no part to this. When you open that new stadium, we ain't going to be there, because y'all ain't got y'all stuff right. When y'all start getting y'all stuff right, then we will fill up that stadium. And he's exactly right. That's why they got to make a decision on Eberflus. Like, is he our guy moving forward or not? Or do we need to get a quarterback-friendly head coach that can really groom our quarterback to be the guy that we believe he can be? And I've always said this about the Titans. They're in the same position. They are moving into a new stadium. They're asking taxpayers for help for that new stadium. They're asking the NFL as well. But they're asking people here in Nashville. But that comes with the territory. I get that. But when you're asking people for money and you're not giving them a good product, people are not, they're not going to want to give you the money. The excitement for that new stadium isn't the same. That's what I've always said. Like, even last year with Will Levis, the prize is the new stadium. They want to make sure they have a if not Super Bowl worthy, but damn sure a playoff worthy team when they head into that stadium. So it's the same thing with Will Levis. Before they move in that stadium, they got to have their quarterback. They got to make sure that the fan base is happy and excited about the quarterback. That's all it's about. So to me, with Will Levis, regardless of how he played the last two games, I'm not going to sit here and be critical about him until the season's done, because I want to see the rest of the season, because my eye is on the prize of 2026, 27, whenever they move into that new stadium. What will you look like then? If you believe Will Levis is your quarterback, you're going to have to sign him, okay? Sign him and get it out of the way. If you're still up in the air, you better go draft another one, or you better get you a damn good backup that if anything happens, if he proves to you next year, because he's their quarterback. Even into next year, I believe he's their guy. They're going to ride with him. But you got to make sure you got a contingency plan if that doesn't work heading into the new season. Because if it doesn't work and you don't have a contingency plan, whether it's drafting a quarterback and letting them sort of play that thing out, or getting you a good veteran quarterback that if something happens, you still can win games. If you don't do that, everybody's getting fired, and everybody deserves to get fired, and no one will be in that stadium. Because in their minds, you've had time. This is your time right now to get your quarterback, to get everything back on track. So when you walk into that new stadium, everybody knows what the deal is. The fan base is excited about their team, and more importantly, they're excited about their quarterback. I can't say definitively whether this fan base is excited about their quarterback. If they had to move it to a new stadium next year, I'm not sure fans would show up, because I don't think they're excited about the quarterback that they have right now.
It's a good point, and I thought it was important that Will Levis won a game, just won a game. You saw how much it weighed on him after the loss to Minnesota, I believe, about how he had not won a game in close to a calendar year. Because although he did get credit for the win against Miami earlier this season, we know he really didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't have anything to do with it because Mason Rudolph came in and they played a depleted Dolphins team and they won that game. So although the win goes into Will Levis's ledger, we all know he didn't win that game. I thought it was good that he won a game, despite throwing an interception that was returned for a touchdown, despite being sacked 8 times. As we've talked about, we got the full Will Levis experience on Sunday. But I thought it was good for him, personally, that he won a game. And I saw this just as we were wrapping up our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, and I wish I had seen it earlier because I would have loved to get his opinion on it, because we were talking about it. We're talking about the sacks with Will Levis. He took 8 sacks. I believe he has been sacked 20 times in 3 games.
No. And the bigger thing is the percentage. It's 14.7%
of pressures that turn into sacks.
Of dropbacks.
That turn into sacks.
Which is number one in the league by a wide margin.
Right.
The only guy that's close is Deshaun Watson.
So, according to Next Gen Stats, Will Levis has been sacked on 84.6% of his dropbacks longer than 4 seconds, the highest rate in the NFL.
I wonder what league average is on 4 seconds, because the play is usually designed to be out of a quarterback's hands.
Yeah, by 4 seconds.
Then, that's holding the ball for a while.
Right. But to your point, even when he's not holding the ball that long, in terms of dropbacks that turn into sacks, pressures that turn into sacks, he's up there. I mean, it's clearly something that he needs to work on. I know the Titans' offensive line doesn't always help, but I think what you brought up with Tim, Willie, is something we've talked about a lot, and Derek's mentioned it a lot too, is just being able to feel the pressure when it's coming, to have those instincts when the pressure is coming, and to avoid it as best he can. It's something that clearly hasn't clicked yet.
Well, let's again go to the numbers that I think are important when you're evaluating. I don't think it's really as much TD passes and interceptions. Obviously, interceptions are huge. But his passer rating is 84.8 after these 17 games. Now, league average is around 91, 92. So he is below league average just with the passer rating. That does not count what you just mentioned as a major weakness, and that is how many times you get sacked. The QBR takes into account everything a quarterback does, his running ability, his ability to avoid sacks, the context of when you do things. It's a better accurate stat. Now, that's where I think you really are saying, look, despite this little uptick in the last 3 weeks, which is an uptick. He's done better.
Yeah, he has.
But his career passer rating is somewhere between 33 and 36. And that is way below average. He's got a long way to go. And that's why I keep coming back to, I want to see him get closer to league average, because then you can start to justify, hey, league average is not great, but he's making so little money as we kind of figure out, how do we build a winning team going into the new stadium? I mean, you've got a couple years to figure that out, even though you are trying to sell some pretty expensive PSLs, which is, I don't know how that's going, but the reaction I get on the street from people that are doing it is not good. It's like, that's a little too steep for me. But I think you can hang around and hopefully continue to get better. That's his pathway to getting a next contract with the Titans. And I don't know if it'll happen or not. It's still a little bit of a long shot. But I hear them saying, look, he's looking better. He's looking better, yes, but he's still not week in and week out, a league average quarterback. That's the next step.
And he started from probably as low as you could go this season, particularly.
Yeah, he sunk way down
there.
Yes,
he's had to dig himself out of the hole. He may not even be out of that hole. His head may not even be poking out of that hole. He may be just at the cusp of that hole, but he dug himself.
And you have to acknowledge his offensive line is bad.
Yes, that is very important to acknowledge.
And hopefully that will get better.
Yeah. I don't see it getting any better no time this
season. Not this year, but like these are the things that they have to address as they rebuild the team. This is a rebuild.
Yeah, maybe next year. I mean, hell, it seems like you could play with four players and still be better than playing with five. Will Levis, again, I'm not going to sit here and because, you know, he's done some things. You can see where he's sort of made some adjustments. And he's trying to hold on. The hardest part, I think, for a young quarterback, and we say young, but Will's really not young, but a young quarterback as far as years, is to, when things are not going well, stay on point, stay the course, don't start reverting back to those old habits. I think that's the hardest thing for a young quarterback to do, because innately, when things are not going right, you revert back to what you used to do. And we don't want that from Will Levis, because we know how it used to look with Will Levis and how it still looks with Will Levis. We don't want you to continually to revert back to what was happening the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season with you. That's probably the hardest thing for Will Levis and the young quarterback, because it's, okay, everything's going fine. I can continue to do the things that you told me to do, coach. I can go through my progression. But when things are not ideal, now what do I do? Do I stick? Do I hold on to those principles that the OC and the head coach is drilling into my head every day? Or do I revert back to the old player I used to be? He can't afford to revert back to the old player he used to be. Incremental steps is good for Will Levis. It may not be good as far as, you know, what he would possibly get in a contract, but it's good for him that he's showing progress, that he's not reverting back. Even the interception, it was a bad interception, I get it, but I seen a lot of incremental steps forward that is not going to make me harp on that pick six too long. Now, if he continued to play the way we was playing 5 weeks ago, if he continues to do that, or if he started doing that, then no, I have no patience for that. But if he's getting better moving forward and it can be incremental, I don't care about wins and losses right now. I just want to see him get better, because that's the goal. The goal right now, they want to win. I get it. They want to win. Everybody wants to win. But the goal is for your quarterback to get better, because you got to know what you have in him.
So Mike Sando of The Athletic does a column every week after, I believe he does it after every Monday, so I don't think it includes the Monday night game. But he does a column every week, and I always find it to be an interesting read. And he had a section dedicated to Will Levis this past week, specifically talking about the sacks and all of those things.
The game against Houston.
Yes, the game against Houston, but also the sacks, his propensity to take sacks over the course of his career, and specifically this season. And he had a quote from a quote-unquote offensive coach who studied quarterbacks in the 2023 draft. I don't know what that means exactly. But he had a quote, and that offensive coach said, "I don't think Will Levis is naturally instinctive. Bad things happen as a result." And Will, you asked Tim Hasselbeck about this. I mean, how do you go about fixing that? Is it something that can be fixed? Is it something that can only be fixed in live game action? Derek, is that something that can be replicated in practice to try to? This is a word that when I use it, you have to be careful, because I know Will Levis used it earlier in the season. Rewire. Is there a way that you can change those instincts out of a quarterback, you know, get them out of his system, other than just putting him in the game?
I'm not going to sit here and say, no, you can't. But I think it's all about, you know, being repetitive, just repeating the same things over and over again, no matter what your circumstance is. Go through the same steps that you would go through if you were up 14 or down 14. Go through the same steps and the same progressions if you threw four touchdowns in a game or two interceptions in a game. What are those progressions? What are those things? What is the coach teaching you? What is the quarterback's coach teaching you in these moments? Stick to those. Because even sometimes I know when you stick to them, it still don't go right. I get that part. But we have seen when Will Levis goes outside of that, things go really bad for him, okay? For him, it's just stick to the basics. And Will Levis said this throughout the off season so much, but I don't think he truly understood what coach was saying. Don't get tired of playing boring football. Will Levis said that a lot in the offseason, but I don't think he truly knew what it meant. Don't get bored playing boring football, which means don't get bored with throwing that check down. Don't get bored with throwing that five-yard hitch or that five-yard out. Don't get bored with doing those things that are methodically moving you down the field. Because once you start to get bored with doing those things, pick six come. Once you start getting bored of doing all things, you're throwing in the double coverage. That's something that Will Levis preached in the offseason, and I know Brian Callahan was trying to drill it through his head. But I don't think he truly understood that, not until he got bit, well, he got hurt. And he had to sit. That's when it finally, I think, clicked for him. Okay, just play boring football. Boring football means take the check down, do this, do that. Now, he needs not hold on to the ball that long, but continue to play boring football. We may get on these airwaves and say Will Levis went, 13 for 20 with 160, 70 yards and a touchdown or two. That may not look like exciting football. But that could potentially lead you to winning football. And that's what you want. You want a quarterback that is progressing and playing winning football. All the time, it may not end up as a win, but you're playing winning football. That's what Will Levis, I think he's starting to realize that now. And hopefully we won't have those mistakes that he was prone to the first five games of the season.
615-737-1025. Now that Will Levis has started a season's worth of games, 17 career games for Will Levis, because I know that was an important mark for a lot of people. We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis at 615-737-1025. Tune into 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on FIU with a kickoff time of 1 in a pregame that begins at 11:30 a.m. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV.
Clark Lee hasn't started his news conference yet.
Who?
Clark has not started his news conference
Ooh,
yet.
Ooh, yeah, we might have more.
D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Clark Lee has just started his news conference ahead of Vanderbilt's game against Tennessee this weekend. We hope to squeeze Clark in here before the end of our program. Looking forward to talking to him if we can. But we were talking Will Levis, 17 games worth of data now, a full season, 17 games of data for Will Levis. Since it was an important mark for a lot of people, I would love to get some thoughts on that. Our friend Adam from Portland is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Adam, I think this is the Will Levis post being benched, which I'm going to say he was benched. You're never going to convince me otherwise. I don't think he was hurt. If he was hurt, I don't think they're drawing up Josh Allen power runs for him. So even so, no matter what happens, since his absence to when he come back, that's the Levis I thought we were getting, which that doesn't mean he's playing mistake-free football. It just means he's playing comfortably how he likes to play football. He's ripping it down the field. He's ripping it sometimes to the wrong guy. But yeah, I don't think you swap that quarterback out. I think he looks good. Can you imagine if he had an offensive line and maybe a little more consistency from tight end, how much better he would be? Like, I think you got to rock with him at this point, dude. And I'll be the first to say, I was saying get him out of there. Mason Rudolph, and I stand by that. I think Mason Rudolph wins the first two games. But I also go, Will Levis has won games the way Mason Rudolph could not have won them. So I would stick with Will Levis 100%, dude. I would not be thinking about Deion's kid or Cam or anybody like that at the top of the draft. I would be looking to get Will Levis help at this point.
Thanks, Adam.
Listen, I agree with Adam in regards to sticking with Willis means sticking with Levis for the remainder of the season. I'm with him with that because I want to see, does his play continue to get better? Again, because I don't want to get fooled again. And I know the fan base doesn't want to get fooled again. So let him play the remainder of the season. Let it play out and let's see how he does. But that doesn't make me think all of a sudden, oh, he's our guy moving forward. No, I am going to either draft me a quarterback or I'm going to bring in a better veteran quarterback. So if it doesn't, if it looks like it's not working, because what I want to do is I want to bring competition. That's all I'm talking about. I want to bring in competition. So when he looks back, he sees someone that can really take his job, not a Mason Rudolph he's not really going to take my job. I know that. And everybody else on the planet knows that. I want him to be able to look back and say, oh, okay, if I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, that guy can legitimately take my job. That's what makes teams better. That's why the New England Patriots were so good for so long. Why? Because they generated competition every day. Not every year. They generated competition every day. Kansas City generate competition every day. Baltimore generate competition every day. Those are the good teams. When the San Francisco 49ers, before they start dealing with their injuries, competition every day. That makes one another, that makes us better. When you have no competition, it's hard for you to get up and get better unless you're self-motivated. But to me, I agree with Adam. Let him be your quarterback moving into the season. Don't switch right now. Let him play the year out. But I am not going to get fooled and say it's Will Levis's job headed into next season without getting him someone that can push him. Competition is good for franchises. Competition is good for professional sports. It makes you better as a team. So whether Will Levis does well moving forward, I'm still going out to get someone that can push him.
I knew that eventually Jared would chime in about our LeJarius Sneed conversation from
Sneed, Sneed.
I can't use one of the words he used in the text message he sent me, but he says, "You are off your bleeping rocker." I asked about what? He says, "Sneed absolutely had injury concerns when they traded for him." I said, "How many games did he miss over his final two seasons in Kansas City because of injury?" He goes, "When the other teams aren't interested because of those injuries concerns, then they exist."
Injury is the wrong term because, as you pointed out, he didn't miss any games. So you can't be injured if you didn't miss games. Were there concerns about where his health would be in the coming years? Yes, that's a legitimate thing. That was vetted out pretty well. I think everybody
knew.
But
that's what a lot of guys that have injuries,
yeah,
and you're trying to sign them to a big contract.
Just like when you're assessing a running back may not have ever been injured, but once he gets to 28, 29, 30, you know the track record is the wear and tear. If you look at a guy's carries, you can kind of say, well, where is it going? I think it's the same thing with you want to see medical records of a guy if he does have a condition that you think could accelerate. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's different ones that, you know, like a guy has microfracture stuff, right? No, maybe not a lot of cartilage left in his knee or a back issue. That's a very legitimate thing. But, Adam, what you said is completely accurate. He had not missed any time, and he still, to this day, this is the central issue. He's not missing time because of his knees this year. Now, remember, in his contract, they're stuck with him next year for sure, regardless. They do have an out. According to SpotRac, you could pay $12 million in dead money. And by then, the cap is going to keep going up, and that won't be a huge price. It sounds like a lot. But you could get out of that deal after next year. You got him for two more years if you want to keep him. So I think it's really his knees are a question for the future. It's not an issue for this year. So I really don't know why we got off on the whole subject. To me, this is a non-subject because the fact is he took a helmet to the thigh and he tried to work through it. They tried different things and nothing was working. And it's lingered a lot longer than they originally thought. And he's on IR. That's a separate thing then. What were his concerns with his medicals on the knees when they were? These are two separate topics.
No, you're absolutely right. don't act as if you can't separate one thing from the other. It's like, well, since he's hurt, I'm going to throw in the knees in it. I'm going to throw the knees in it.
Right.
Even
like,
though it has nothing to do with the knees.
Replay your repeat your analogy of the house. I thought that was like, a good thing. Yeah, you're looking to buy a house, and you know it's got an X problem in the basement
has,
or something.
If it has, you know, I don't know.
Let's just say it's a
foundation issue.
You got something in the foundation you got a question
that everybody has a question about. Okay. All right. We got this question about your foundation. And we say, well, drop the price a little bit. You drop the price a little bit. We get the foundation fixed. Inspector comes back out. Hey, foundation is great. Fixed.
We're
whoever
okay
fixed
with it. Both
it,
parties
give
are
us
okay
the
with
number
it. Yeah.
So we can pass out to everybody else. It's fixed. Don't even worry about it. It was there, but it's good. But then a year later, you start having leaks in your window seal. Even though the inspector checked your window seals and said the window seals were fine. Are you then going to say, well, damn, I shouldn't have bought this house because, you know, the foundation was messed up. I should have walked out then. Well, you're not having foundation problems. So you made a good purchase. It's just like anything. Over time, things start to wear down. In Legarius Sneed's case, his knees isn't the problem. So you've gotten through that. It's his quad. Now, again, if you want to argue about his play, you can do that. I can do that because that's legitimate. We can see it. Those are facts. He hadn't been playing well. But you can't sit here and say, well, I'm done with the Titans because they signed him and he was hurt. There were a lot of guys they signed that were hurt that didn't have that end up getting hurt after but didn't have that same injury that you were worried about. So we can't be getting on Legarius on the Titans and saying, well, that was just a bad signing because now his quad hurt. His quad has nothing to do with his knee. He got hit in the quad. Now it's hurt. Now he has to go on IR. He's going to miss probably more than likely the remainder of the season. They say he can come back in four games. But unless they win four in a row, I'm not sure they're going to even risk it. It's not his knee. Get that through your head. It is not his knee. It's a quad that he got injured in a game. What is so hard to kind of decipher from those two? Quad, knee. Quad, knee. I got hit in the quad, but my knee's not hurting. And we don't even know if it's the same quad that the knee was hurt. You know, so I don't understand why this is being talked about in this manner like the Titans got fooled. You know, the Titans thought they were smarter than everybody else, and they signed a guy that had knee problems, and now it's quad hurt. Again, his knees doesn't hurt. He's not missing games because of his knee. If he was missing games because of his knee, this argument would be valid.
It'd be very different. Yeah.
It would be very different. I'd be on board.
That's what I said
but
earlier.
But he hurt his quad from a guy hit him in a quad, and he got hurt. What is so hard to understand? I don't get it.
It's like I said in the first hour, it's not on video. It wasn't some gruesome hit that everybody saw and was like, whoa, that looked bad. It snuck up on everybody. Mm-hmm. He finished the game. You didn't hear about the injury for a while. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be a lot worse than you would think. And then he has this sort of casual press conference where everybody's like, oh, he doesn't even look like he cares, which to me is very unfair. But you add all of this stuff together and you create a story that's not a story. Guy's hurt.
This shouldn't be a story because it's not his knee. If you want to make the story he hasn't played up to the contract thus far, then let's make that the story. I'm all day, every day. I'll run with that story and talk about it all day if you want to. But let's not talk about a knee that isn't hurting him. That's just like Devondre Sweat. Y'all talked about his weight for so long. And then he proved to y'all that the weight is no issue. Why y'all just can't – y'all let that go? Why y'all just can't let the Legarius knee thing go with the knee?
Because
I don't understand
people are
it.
Piling on to the Titans because things haven't gone well, and they've made a lot of decisions that haven't turned out the way they hoped. We went through our 10 Titans questions. We know how the answers to the questions have gone. Mm-hmm. Not well. And so it's an easy other thing to pile on.
It's low-hanging fruit. Listen, when you start discussing his knees, that is low-hanging fruit. Start with his play. Just start and stick with his play. You have more of an argument with his play than you do with this sort of you know, he's, it's really his knee. You shouldn't assign him, you know, conspiracy theory thing. Is he milking it or is he not milking it? You would have more of an argument if you just talked about his play rather than a knee that isn't bothering him, people. It's his quad muscle.
I look forward to Jared's retort. I'm sure he'll maybe take some things I say out of context. But I look forward
That's
to
why you got to say it three times so he doesn't take it out of context.
This was my point. You can absolutely be disappointed in the performance of L'Jarius Sneed this season. No one would argue with that. But I do not subscribe to the theory that the Titans once again were fooled by a player with long-term injury concerns like Caleb Farley when they drafted him or Julio Jones when they traded for him. As I said with Julio Jones, he had hamstring issues his final season in Atlanta. So when you traded for him and he had hamstring issues here, you knew what you were signing up for. I think L'Jarius Sneed has not lived up to expectation this season. But I just have a hard time getting to the point that the Titans were hoodwinked by the Chiefs. And I look forward to hearing Jared's response. I'm sure it's going to be spicy. 615-737-1025. We hope to hear from Clark Lee, but we'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say that we heard from Chase that because of practice, yes, Clark Lee was unable to speak with us today. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to Clark Lee this weekend as the Commodores host the Volunteers. Okay.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Vandy extra just because there were some Volunteer fans that did the Gator Chomp. Like, you just don't do that, okay? Don't do that.
It's one of the more unique matchups in this rivalry. And I have been watching that game intently since 1989 is the first year. That was my freshman year at Vanderbilt. And I would say, look, it's no secret that a high percentage of those games, mm-hmm, have been with Tennessee as an extreme favorite and Vanderbilt fortunate to be in the game. You're hoping Vanderbilt can be competitive and maybe have a chance in the fourth quarter. Like when I was a sideline announcer, for example, in Knoxville, the year was, I believe, yes, 1995, Peyton Manning quarterbacking, loaded Tennessee team. Vanderbilt scores on the opening kickoff, kicks the extra point, and then with a great defense and inept offense, leads the game 7-6 for about 50 minutes. Really made everybody sweat before they fell. Mm-hmm. Woody Woodenhofer had a great defense, a terrible offense. That's the kind of game I'm talking about. But that was more the exception than the rule. Mm-hmm. But this one, even though Vanderbilt has broken through, I think they beat them 5 times in the last, I don't know, it's now 10 or 11 years. Mm-hmm. They've beaten them 5 times. Like, they went from 1982 until 2005 without ever beating Tennessee. So the rivalry went through a pretty good dip there. It got much better as Tennessee struggled some and Vanderbilt started to have some success with Franklin and even some Derek Mason teams. But this one is unique with the college football playoff, right? Vanderbilt really had – this is like a national championship game, mm-hmm, for Vanderbilt.
Here's one,
right,
thing I love about the college football playoff format now. Under the previous format, the game between Florida and Ole Miss really wouldn't have mattered last week.
No.
Yeah.
But it had huge implications on the college football playoff, mm-hmm, Florida defeating Ole Miss. And this game absolutely qualifies as the same. Under the previous format, I mean, Vanderbilt beating Tennessee, that's a big deal locally. But in terms of the college football playoff landscape, wouldn't really mean anything, probably.
Yeah, because UT, right, would have been out of it by now. They would have been out of it, and there would not have been no talks of them potentially getting the SEC championship nor the college football playoffs. But now that the team, or now that the field has been expanded to 12, they still have an opportunity. If they win this game, they're shoo-in to make the college football playoffs.
I wonder how Vols fans are feeling. I'm sorry, Derek. I wonder how Vols fans are feeling this week, because last week their prayers were answered. Everything broke their way. They won big, albeit against an inferior opponent. Ole Miss loses. Alabama loses. Indiana lost big to Ohio State. Everything broke Tennessee's way. and all they need to do is take care of their own business here on Saturday. And I have to imagine, I mean, we can ask our resident Vols fan, Robbie Stanley. I imagine he's nervous about Saturday.
You have to be nervous looking at, you know, Vandy's a good team.
Yes.
And you're playing them in their home
stadium.
And they
played spoiler once already.
Exactly. And they're capable of beating a team. If you don't come in with your A game, or if you believe you're coming in with your A game. I think Vandy's at a point now where they are a legitimate team. Are they a legitimate championship caliber team? They're not there yet, but they are a legitimate team to go out there and be spoiler, play spoiler this weekend or any other weekend when you're talking about the SEC.
I'm still a little concerned for a couple reasons. I still think Diego Pavia has been a little banged up. He doesn't quite have the same zip on the fastball with his movements. He's still a gamer. He's going to battle. I'm concerned about that. The other thing that I think from Tennessee's perspective, I mentioned some of these games I've watched over the years where I think you can say, hey, this is Vanderbilt's national championship game. They would love to make their season by beating Tennessee. Well, that's one thing if you're 3-7 or something like that on a given year, and this is all you have to play for. But Vanderbilt's been a good team. They cracked the top 25. They've got some huge wins. They're going to a bowl game whether they win or lose this game. And so they've got the attention of Tennessee. I think there have been some years where Tennessee is like, we'll waltz through Vanderbilt.
Well, hopefully
we'll get the win.
Hopefully they walk
in. And Vanderbilt maybe surprises them with an inspired effort and challenges them. But Vanderbilt's not sneaking up on Tennessee. Tennessee knows that Vanderbilt's been a solid team and could beat them. So I think you're going to get Tennessee's best game. And so that is where it's at. I think this is a spotlight game. I think I'm excited. The game's been sold out for weeks. I think it's going to be a really good atmosphere. It's going to be jam-packed in there because the stadium is still smaller than it's going to be in another year. So I'm really – I think it's going to be pretty good theater Saturday.
Clark Lee – by the way, I'm sorry, Derek. Again, I keep interrupting you. Clark Lee said during his news conference on the Tennessee rivalry, quote, "The unique thing about this game is that it's extremely personal to me. I grew up in this city. I grew up following this program, and I played in this program. The meaning of this game cuts deep to us. Maybe that's a little old school, but that stuff still matters to me."
Well, that's him, and he's right. When you've played at a program and then you end up being the coach of that program, those games like UT or Alabama, those mean a little bit extra. Just like the Titans going to Houston, playing the Texans, that means a little bit extra to Amy Adams. So, I mean, Vandy, they can play spoiler, and they can go into the bowl season, on a high as far as them winning their last game against a potential college football playoff team. So, you know, hopefully they can go out there and do it. But quickly, let me say congratulations to my former teammate, Eddie George. His team has qualified for the FCS playoffs. They took a share of the OVC conference championship. Man, Eddie, you've done a wonderful job the years you've been there. That program wasn't as good when you got there. Now where they're at now, man, you have done a hell of a job, Eddie. I am proud of you. I'm proud of your coaching staff, man. I hope you guys go out there and continue to have success throughout the playoffs. But I wanted to say that because Eddie's worked his ass off to get this program to where it's at, and they can reach even bigger heights. But I think he's done a wonderful job there, so I want to congratulate him on his OVC. I think they're co-champs. Yeah, OVC co-champs.
I believe so, co-champs.
Yeah, but they get an opportunity to play in the FCS playoffs. They didn't think it was going to be that way a couple of weeks ago because they had dropped the game, but they found themselves back into it with some help. So congratulations to him.
Awesome. Absolutely. Way to go. So, we've got one more show before Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
We'll be live at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow, where the Predators will host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, we haven't been at Bridgestone Arena for a show in a minute. It's been a few weeks. Looking forward to getting back there. Stillman and Company coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love, love on your people. Have a wonderful, safe, and blessed Tuesday. Peace.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com.
Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.